You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
A little after 3 o'clock, it's game day here at the big ballpark in the Bronx, Yankee Stadium. Yankees get set for Game 3 of the Fall Classic against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Tiki Barber, his first World Series game.
It is.
Sean Morash, his first World Series game.
You guys aren't staying, though.
Well, I may stay.
Well, let's calm down.
I'm working on a place to possibly park my body, and then I may stay. My scorebook's all ready to go. I can tell
I'm
you
a
that
loser.
Right now. The only thing that makes it tricky is the Giants play tonight. I'm a professional broadcaster.
Yes.
So I need to watch both games. Mm-hmm. So that does make things a little bit tricky. But right now, it's a beautiful night. The field is being readied for batting practice. And we will have a game that you will hear right here on The Fan with First Pitch at 8:08. And I should remind our audience, this hour, this upcoming hour, we are giving you a chance to win World Series tickets. So this hour, you'll hear a cue to call.
Bang, bang, boom, boom, bang, bang.
Yeah, that's our new cue to call. Do
is
you guys
that
like
the cue?
That? Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, you like that one?
Why'd you get rid of the all rise?
I mean, because that's amazing. You want to hear it one more time? Ladies and
bang,
gentlemen.
Bang, bang, boom, boom, bang, bang.
Yeah. That's when you know. Pick up your phone and dial.
We don't hear all rise anymore anyway. That's what we hear when Judge
said you said it. Now, speaking of which, all right, I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the Jets, I'm a solutions man. And sometimes you've got to try something. So as the Yankees get set for Game 3 of the World Series, there's a myriad of reasons why they're here. We'll go through some of Boone's decisions a little bit later on from Game 1. But ultimately, they haven't hit enough. Ultimately, they haven't gotten the big hit. And ultimately, Aaron Judge just hasn't performed.
Yes.
And so this is a very tricky spot that Aaron Boone is in. I remember Carlos Mendoza being in this spot about a week and a half ago, and I said, it's not easy deciding to make changes in the middle of a series because the last thing you want to do is panic. You don't want to panic, but you want to try something. So, before we tell you the move that Aaron Boone is planning on making, let me tell you the move I would make. And it involves Aaron Judge.
Okay.
So I want to go back, because it's all relatable and it all comes together with my thought process
right
on this.
Is this what you said on Friday?
I don't remember what I said on
Friday. Okay, but I'll tell you if you said the same thing on Friday.
Okay.
Obviously, it didn't happen over the weekend, but I'll be interested if it's exactly what you said on Friday.
So, it's very different than what I said on Friday. I can tell you that right now. So, when Pete Alonso was struggling, I rejected the idea of dropping him in the order.
Okay.
Because I think that I don't think it serves any purpose. Like, A-Rod being dropped against Detroit in 2006 was just embarrassing. Mm-hmm. That's all it really did. So for anyone who's saying Aaron Judge shouldn't be hitting third, he should be hitting fifth or sixth, like, I don't think that does any good. So I'm against that. What the Mets did with Pete is they moved him up.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
That's what I thought you were going to suggest. Move him up and put him in a more important position.
Like where?
Like leadoff.
Like leadoff. That's my man right
nice
there. Nice. I would lead off Aaron Judge. And I know that's kind of crazy right now because Gleyber Torres has been so brilliant
right
as a leadoff hitter. But I want to try something because Aaron Judge is struggling. Like, there's no denying it anymore. And we could sit back and say, just run him out there every day and hope he gets hot.
Yeah, eventually he'll figure it out because he's Aaron Judge and he's a great player. And so if you just keep giving him opportunities, he'll get hot. But the problem is you only have two more games.
That's my issue.
Theory.
That's why, like, there's a fine line between panicking and trying something. And Aaron Judge leading off something we've seen before, it's not completely foreign. And I want to give you a baseball reason on why before Sean and you guys tell me it's a brilliant decision or you're an idiot. Aaron Judge needs to take the pressure off of himself. Because I think
that's what it is.
I do. I think he's chasing more than he's ever chased.
Of course. I mean, his chase rate out of the zone is just it's almost doubled.
So what do you do? What do you do is you tell him, don't worry about 2-1 and nobody out to start a game. Lead off the game.
You do
and
him,
get on base.
You do what Tom Coughlin did to me. If you don't quit fumbling, you're not going to play.
Well, that's what Sean suggested a month ago, and it was the dumbest opinion ever.
It can't happen. But you did suggest something on Friday that I thought was interesting, because what we're starting to see is he's getting in these pressure moments, because teams will literally walk Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge.
And they should.
Of course they should, because he's not hitting.
When they walked Soto for Judge over the weekend, I remember, unlike the previous time, saying, this is a no-brainer.
Yes.
How would you ever face
Juan
Soto? Yeah,
originally it was, no, that's just, you can't do that. Now it's like, you should, you know, walk Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge. But on Friday, and you didn't come back to this, you said move, flip Stanton and Judge.
Yes. That's another idea.
Put him in the cleanup spot
yeah.
so that Stanton is protecting Soto. So you can't walk Juan Soto, because then you might make yourself vulnerable to a multi-run home run.
So I'm effectively doing the same thing, because the lineup I would suggest is flipping Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres, where Aaron Judge becomes the leadoff hitter. He's protected by Juan Soto, so the same purpose occurs. But really what's important is Aaron Judge has found himself in these spots with two on and nobody out. It seems like a lot. And I think he's overthinking it. And I think to start a game off by being in that leadoff spot, something he's done before, it now becomes just get on base.
Yeah.
And if you get on base, you're setting up Juan Soto.
Right.
And oh, by the way, you're setting up Gleyber Torres, who's been great.
And if you happen to hit a home run, fantastic as well.
If you hit a leadoff home run, fan-freaking-tastic. We all love it, right? So it's out of the box, but it's also not, like, insulting.
Yeah.
Because I think dropping Judge in the order is an insulting move that Joe Torre tried with Alex Rodriguez, and I don't think it serves a purpose. So my answer on how to try something around Aaron Judge's slumping is to lead him off today with Judge 1, Soto 2, Gleyber 3, Giancarlo 4. What up?
I could get down with that.
Thank you.
Sean?
That idea makes me want to throw up all over the
place. Oh, come
on.
That's a little too much.
No, here's why. Two reasons. Number one, you're not taking into account how this would affect Gleyber Torres as well. And I don't want to touch Gleyber Torres with how he's been the most consistent hitter, hitting him leadoff.
Okay.
I worry about moving him back down.
Okay, but hold on.
Okay.
I got to hold on.
Yeah,
you got to hold on. I hear you. And you're right. Gleyber Torres, his average is at 300. He's always on base. You can count on him to get hits. It's not translating into runs. That's the problem.
Right.
So with your argument, with leaving it at status quo, it's not translating into runs.
Which is why I would agree with you. I would just hit Stanton third and Judge fourth. I would put all the pressure and make a pitcher go, oh my God, I got these first two guys on. Here comes a guy who hits a home run every other at bat, and he's going to go down his leg in that
spot. I know to you, and even to a lot of people listening, this is going to sound crazy, because the cleanup spot was a spot in the order that we grew up almost
ignoring. Of course, yeah.
Dude, it's insulting to Aaron Judge.
I'm telling
you right now.
You know what?
Can't bat, yes.
Sorry.
You know why?
Why?
Means he doesn't bat in the first inning, potentially.
I'll get lost.
And that matters.
He bats in the first inning with the way these two guys get on all the time. And Stanton's had no problem flip-flopping 5-4, 4-5.
Stanton's not Judge, bro.
I'm sorry. That's insane.
Stanton's not the MVP.
With all due respect.
Aaron Judge is going to be the MVP of the American League this year.
Not of this series. And if Aaron Judge is a true captain of this team, you're not asking him to bat eighth or seventh like it happened to A-Rod once. Batting fourth, you live with it. Also, another reason I don't want Aaron Judge batting leadoff, the way he's going right now, let's say that doesn't fix the problem. Alex Verdugo, for as good as he's been with his glove, is back to being an automatic out batting ninth. And if you turn him around, I don't want him and Judge right now being two automatic outs in most
innings
when they come up.
So my idea, a little out of the box, would be to do something different. Try something. The way Carlos Mendoza.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It was a try throughout the postseason. We have the answer. That's why it was important for me to give this opinion now, because I knew Aaron Boone's going to run that lineup out, and we're going to get it. So, ladies and gentlemen, your New York Yankee lineup, and what did Aaron Boone do? Did he try anything different of substance? Substantial note?
Substance.
Substance.
Substance? The answer is... not really. Here's your Yankee lineup.
Yankee starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. You want me to read it?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Leading off, Gleyber Torres at second base. Thanks, Booney. Batting second, Juan Soto in right. Batting third is Aaron Judge in center. Cleaning up is Giancarlo Stanton DHing. Batting fifth is your third baseman, Jazz Chisholm.
Chisholm!
Batting sixth is Anthony Volpe, the shortstop. Batting seventh is Anthony Rizzo, the first baseman.
I have that backwards, by the way. I am looking at my lineup card from RotoWire, and I have Rizzo and then Volpe.
I have mine from the official Yankees Twitter account.
Wow. I'll trust the Yankees. All right, fine.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Anthony Volpe batting sixth. Anthony Rizzo batting seventh. Jose Trevino batting eighth and catching, so no Austin Wells.
Yeah.
And batting ninth, your left fielder, Alex Verdugo, with Clark Schmidt on the bump.
So Aaron Boone, outside of the catching flip, which we'll get to in a second, did not make any changes of note. The lineup is staying very, very similar in terms of the top of the order. Do you think that's a mistake, Tim?
Well, I think it's come home, let's get the energy of the Yankee crowd and hope that it gets back to how it's supposed to be. It's a risky move, but I also think that, but leaving it status quo, by the way, but I think it's also, you don't want to panic. You don't want the clubhouse to think that you're panicking.
Do you think
you don't want midway through the World Series to just flip things all around to how it's always been?
Do you think that Mendoza panicked when he made a lot of lineup changes throughout the postseason?
No, but I don't think he was working off any precedent. I think he was working from, this is my first go at this, and I'm going to go with my gut.
Mm. And go with your stars, because stars, 100%. Especially Soto and Judge, are as locked in as anybody in baseball, and they've been hitting in that same spot all year long. While the Mets have made a lot of lineup changes throughout the year, Soto and Judge at 2 and 3 has been one of the biggest constants in all of baseball.
Right, and for the most of the regular season, it was unbelievable constant.
I think there's a fine line that Aaron Boone is not trying to do here between not panicking but trying something. And it's not easy, because I'm not a supporter of panicking. Like, I think Joe Torre panicked when A-Rod got dropped to 8.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to tell you that. I don't think that flipping Judge to a leadoff spot, or even flipping Judge and Soto, I don't think that's a panic move. That's a, hey, let me get the MVP going move. And now nothing has changed. And so it's cross your fingers and hope that being at Yankee Stadium, being in Game 3, and what I've said all along, which is great players will eventually show their greatness if you give them enough opportunities, that tonight of all nights will be the night where Aaron Judge reminds all of us who he is.
I'm going to push back that nothing important has changed. I love what he did here with the middle of the order. Instead of worrying about the Judge situation, we have now seen in this series Jazz Chisholm Jr., who was my pick to heat up, get on base, create a run, right? Putting him and Anthony Volpe back-to-back with their speed in front of Anthony Rizzo, who is hitting to so much contact right now, you're banking on one inning. And it may only take one inning tonight where both of those guys get on. They're in scoring position before you know it, and Anthony Rizzo is knocking them home. I love putting the two speed guys back-to-back.
What do you think of sitting Austin Wells for Jose
Avino? I hate it.
That was my get-hot guy, by the way, Austin Wells. And now he has no chance to get hot because he will be sitting his butt on the pine.
Until he pinch hits late in the game.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not hot if you're pinch hitting in late in the game.
I just feel the job he does defensively is so much better than what Trevino can do. I'm worried about Otani getting on, stealing a base, doing whatever he's doing with the shoulder. I just would give Austin Wells one more shot here at home to get the bat going a little bit. My first reaction is I don't like it.
I kind of lean towards that as well. Like, Austin Wells hasn't hit much. I don't think there's any denying that. He did it at a home run. It was in game four, if I'm not mistaken.
ALCS.
Of the ALCS against Cleveland, which feels like 6 months ago. I think I'd stick with him mainly because Jose Trevino is what he is. He has a very tough time throwing guys out at second base. Right. I don't know if the Dodgers are going to open up their run game here. You know, Shohei Ohtani is expected to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
He hasn't done a lot of running until
he
did the other night, and he injured his shoulder.
Right.
So I think you hurt yourself in the run game, and I just don't think there's as big of an upside offensively with Trevino as there is with Austin Wells.
And what a sad bar when you hear, well, he puts balls in play. That was part of the reason he pitched.
Well, that's why
he
pitched. Yeah. All you needed was a single would have sufficed. So I kind of get it.
And maybe that's what they're thinking. Again, he's behind Rizzo, so you get two guys to put the balls in play with Chisholm. And
well, I think there's a great chance late in the game we're going to see Austin Wells pinch hit for Trevino. We're going to see the opposite.
Yeah.
Circumstance led to Trevino pinch hitting because a left-hander was on the mound.
So what's the thought process then with Austin Wells pinch hitting and in, because he's not focused on whatever he's got to do defensively, that he's going to be more dialed in to getting hits?
No, I don't think it's anything about that. I think
why is Jason Dominguez on this postseason roster?
Well, that's the other thing that was worth thinking about. Alex Verdugo, and I give him a lot of credit for the defensive play he made against Ohtani the other night, okay? That was an underrated defensive moment that everyone forgets about because, A, he fell onto the stands, which kind of led to the intentional walk, and then also Freddie Freeman hits a grand slam.
He also had
run.
A diving catch in that game, too.
No, he did. He's been great defensively, but he's not hitting. And so it comes back to that question I asked before about that balance between panicking and trying something. Alex Verdugo offensively has been one of the least productive left fielders in baseball since June 1st.
So why do you...
That's a fact.
But there's no chance to think that he's going to come out of that.
So then why not try Jason Dominguez?
I agree. That's why I'm asking. Why is he on this roster right now?
Or how about this? Trent Grisham, 2 career homers off Walker Buehler.
I can't do that. I looked at that as well. It's interesting. Yeah. There's not a lot of career numbers against Walker Buehler.
It's interesting because Trent Grisham, I feel like, is a guy who could just pick up his bat and go perform. Or pick up his glove and
Tiki,
go perform.
I'm telling you right now. Sean Morash saying, oh, just start Trent Grisham.
I'm not saying start.
Boone,
I'm not saying
release
start.
Release that lineup.
I'm not saying start Trent Grisham. I'm just saying.
I'm telling you, there'd be riots outside of Yankee Stadium.
In a moment where you need somebody to ignite you. I don't know why I feel confident in him for some reason.
I would give Dominguez that shot, but I think what we're seeing here from
clearly they don't want the young kid. That's what it comes down to, which makes me question why the hell is he even on the roster?
Yeah, as a pinch runner late in games. Basically what it is. That's why he's here.
Trent can run.
Look,
enough.
Here's the real reality why he's on the roster. They're carrying the max amount of pitchers.
Right.
So you need to carry a few position players. It's a rule.
Right.
But I think by not going to him now shows you they're never going to him.
Yeah.
And they're going to trust Verdugo's defense, which has been very good. That's why I say it's not an easy decision necessarily, because I commend Verdugo's defense. That catch he made the other night against Ohtani, that ball bounces in the stands. Ohtani, next pitch, could double up the alley.
Yeah,
we could be talking about something completely different.
All right, speaking of Ohtani, I felt so bad for him watching how he dislocated or whatever, he subluxed his shoulder, because he was just like chilling. It wasn't aggressive. He was just like, oh, man, and it's just holding his arm out there, and you see it. If he would have just gone about it the normal way, he would have been fine.
Well, maybe if he learned how to slide the right way, it would have been an issue.
No, that's right.
For the greatest athlete in the history of the world, he don't know how to slide.
True.
So I'll just say it, all right?
My initial reaction was, is he embarrassed that he just got thrown out? He's doing that, he's grabbing his arm?
Yes. We'll get to some of Boone's decisions as well. Is he getting too much blame? 888-808-1019 is the number. Let's go to Matt in East Rockaway. How you doing today, Matt?
What up, Matt?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good.
Evan, how did you know that there was going to be a walk-off grand slam, and how did you know that there was going to be another Jeffrey Mayer situation? Didn't you predict that?
Well, first of all, Loogie predicted
that. Let us be fair about our correct predictions. So I want to walk everyone through this from Friday very quickly. Sean had a Cinco de Fivo list, which was bad. I mean, it just wasn't a good list, and he was making predictions about the World Series.
It was all right.
And all the predictions were very lame. They were very tame. And so I got inspired. Let's show some guts. So I made some out-of-the-box World Series predictions. Tommy Lugauer, back at the shop, by the way, doing a great job. I'm a little mad at him. His positive Tommy-ness did not hand the Jets a victory.
That's because it's Fugazi. what the hell do you think?
But
he couldn't even muster enthusiasm when he gave his positive Tommy Jets. You need to just release him of it and stop the shenanigans.
No.
Bro,
he's not released from his duties.
You're going to win 3 games this season.
Let positive Tommy's magic work,
Don't let positive Tommy die on the Jet cross.
It's not dying. He's going back into into the Positive Tommy lab to figure out how to fix the New York Jets.
One would say Positive Tommy is unkillable.
Until Thursday night.
Oh, you're Kenny then. They killed Kenny. Oh, wait, so, he's back in the next episode?
So we all made predictions, and I'd love for you guys to hear this from Friday, and there were a lot of them. Tommy was the one. He deserves the credit for this. I was jealous, though, because I was like, man, that is such a good prediction. I wish I had it first. Tommy was the one who said, hey, I got a feeling we're going to get another Jeffrey Mayer situation.
I think we will have a Jeffrey Mayer situation, but in reverse now, a Dodger fan, and it will hurt the Yankees. I'm not saying Yankees lose the series.
You son of a bitch. I am so jealous I didn't have that on my list. Mm. That's so good.
So good. Now, it's amazing because Glaber hits the ball. It's obviously caught by a fan.
Yeah.
The only thing I wonder about, and I'll ask you guys, was it even controversial?
No, because it wasn't a home run. I know they said it was going to be a home run. The ball was below the rim. It would have been a double. Which is what it turned out to be. Of course, they got the call right. It would have been a double because it wasn't going out of the ballpark. The fan reached over to grab it because if you have a glove, I don't care what the circumstances are, you instinctually are going to go to try and grab a ball. That's why you don't bring a glove if you're sitting on the wall. Try to catch it with your hands. But we saw that when Juan Soto hit that home run with in right center the other night, and the Yankee fan tried to catch it with his hands. It hit him in the gut and just fell down. So, I mean, you got to bring a glove, but if you bring a glove, you can't be on the wall because instinctually you're going to do it with that fan.
And you lean over and you make a catch.
You can't help it.
To the credit of the umpires, they got it right.
Of course they did.
It was a Jeffrey Mayer situation, but it was limited in controversy because I don't think Yankee fans were angry about it. Mm. You accepted, that's an obvious call.
No, I think Yankee fans were just angry at Loogie in the moment.
You're mad at Loogie?
Yeah, that was the initial reaction. Anybody I was watching the game was damn it, Loogie.
The other prediction that was correct was I had a feeling that for the first time in the history of the World Series, someone was hitting a walk-off grand slam.
Yeah. Someone's hitting a walk-off grand slam.
Yeah.
A walk-off. How many times has that happened in the World Series?
I don't know.
Why don't you look it up?
Yeah. Why'd you add me?
Nah.
You add me like it was the dumbest idea possible. Meanwhile, a few hours later, Freddie Freeman pulled it off.
I didn't like where the mojo was going. I felt the vibes of pro-Dodgerness when you
that
said
that. That was not pro-Dodger.
I didn't hear a hint of that was going to happen for the Yankees.
It could happen tonight.
Dude, did you go to Boone and say, hey, you know, I walked the bases loaded. You send him a text message, hey, Boney, walk the bases loaded. And then even they have questions about whether or not Nestor, you got two lefties, you got Nestor, well, I got to see if he's all right. If you have a question, he's not all right. If you got to see how he warms up, he's not all right. I love Nestor. He's not all right in that moment.
It's amazing. So I don't know if it's my brain and how the show was over. It was a Friday, and I was just locked in on the World Series. When Glaber hit the controversial double home run and Freddie at the grand slam, I didn't for a second think about our predictions.
Well, no. Evan, tell the truth here. The best part is we all lived it in real time.
Oh, yeah.
Evan went to bed at 9 p.m. on Friday.
That's right.
And texted me while I was doing Big Blue Kickoff Live with Schmelt to go, just finish the game. And I said, end the prediction?
So, yes, what happened was I got home and I was very tired.
You've been sick all week.
I've been sick. We're doing these long shows. And I said to my wife, can you say something to Jose, my father-in-law?
Yeah, for those who don't know, it'll be another long show today, 5.5 hours.
That's right.
From Yankee Stadium.
That's right.
And tomorrow.
Except I'm not going to sleep.
And potentially on Wednesday.
I'm not going to. And Friday, too. So I said, can you just tell my father-in-law, your dad, I'm probably going to go to sleep. I'll wake up at midnight. I'll watch the game, but I'll be behind. I just don't want it to be spoiled in case I run into him. And she's like, you got it. I'll take care of it. So I fell asleep immediately, but instead of waking up at midnight, I slept the whole freaking night.
So that's because your body, you know, needs to rest.
Yeah.
Especially when you're sick.
You're right.
Hydration and sleep.
You're right.
Things you don't do, which is why you get sick for 2 months.
That's fair. That's a good point. It's a good point, Dr. Tiki.
Hey.
So I woke up.
Andrew Catalan called me that on air yesterday.
Dr. Tiki?
Yes.
Well, you are kind of a doctor. So I woke up, and I started the game at 4:30 in the morning.
Unbelievable.
And it was amazing. I'm skipping commercials. I'm cursing out Joe Davis. All friendly, of course, because I like Joe Davis. I just think every time I look at him, I think of two thoughts, how good-looking he is and how much he loves Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
And those two things just drive me nuts because I don't love Shohei Ohtani, and I'm not good-looking. And then when I finished the game, I was like, damn, that's crazy. And I text you guys, and you're like, how about those predictions? And I'm like, damn, Me and Loogie were fire.
Unbelievable.
So here's the good news.
So credit to you, Sean, for having such a bad Cinco that you forced Evan and Loogie to come up with something creative that actually came through.
That's why I do it.
That's amazing.
That's why
you're amazing.
Thank you.
You're awesome, Sean.
I have one other prediction that's still alive, by the way. And when Ohtani got hurt, I thought I was going to back into it, which is Ohtani's only getting two hits in this World Series.
Oh.
He gets hurt. I'm like,
by the way,
crap.
He's playing. Let's see how that shoulder is. Maybe it will be something.
I think I'm going to nail that one, too. I think I'm going to be right about that. But I promise you this, later on in the show, for everybody out there, whether you're a Yankee fan or you're a non-Yankee fan, Tommy Lugauer and I went to the laboratory. We went to the laboratory of insanely accurate baseball predictions, and a little bit later on tonight, let's say 6 o'clock, we will unveil a few more how did that happen crazy World Series predictions.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah.
I nailed the Grand Slam. Tommy nailed the Jeffrey Mayer home run. We're back at it for more a little bit later on.
By the way, I got to say, I love the natural light.
Natural light? How about the natural smell? It finally smells like hot dogs.
Smells like hot dogs. We look gorgeous in natural light on our stream.
This is
awesome. I am going to have to lobby for our studio to have natural light.
How about we just start doing the show from Yankee Stadium all year round?
Whatever.
Like middle of December.
I need to see the light. I can't go into a dungeon at 2 o'clock and not come out and see the light until 7.
Especially the winter.
I like the idea of just doing stadium shows every single day.
Hey,
we'll just stare at empty baseball and football fields.
That'd be cool.
The entire year.
I'd be down.
We'll get back to your calls. Angry Jet fans, excited but nervous Yankee fans who have strong opinions on this lineup tonight. 888-808-1019. And once and for all, are you guys being too harsh on Aaron Boone? We give you the answer coming up. You know, it's very normal when you lose a postseason game to blame the manager. It's a very, very common occurrence. And sometimes blaming the manager becomes too easy. Blaming the manager becomes too cliched. And blaming the manager becomes very lazy. Just a very lazy thing to do. I think you trust me as an IBO. I hope you trust me as an IBO. I've worked very hard to be trusted as an IBO. So let me be the voice of reason when it comes to Aaron Boone and his managing, specifically in Game 1 against the Dodgers in this World Series. Aaron Boone done effed up. Okay? He did. And that's not coming from someone who calls Sports Talk Radio looking to hate Aaron Boone. This comes from a place of, I like Aaron Boone.
Of course.
I find myself defending Aaron Boone a lot of the time. But when you go back to Game 1, there were two grave mistakes. And it was funny to me because Chris Big Mac McMonagle, who does a wonderful job in overnights, also has done a great job over the weekend, but also is employed by Aaron Boone's ass, is telling me, well, the Cole thing is worse than the Cortez thing. And I said to Big Mac, just like I'll tell everybody, again, just as an IBO, they're both bad.
No, the Cole thing
was worse.
There were
two more. Okay, and by the way, that's fine if you want to say it's worse. I think they were both bad managerial moves from a manager that I mostly like.
The only way the Cole thing is not bad is if he's doing something that he's not doing, which is pitching him three times.
Bang!
Uh-huh. Which he's not doing.
Tiki, words out of my mouth because you're right. That's been something I've been on now for a week and a half, that I would do that. There's no indication he's pitching tomorrow. Unless Aaron Boone is rope-a-doping the crap out of us, there is zero indication that that's the plan with Gerrit Cole. And the answers that Aaron gave, he was done. Well, what did you see that makes you think he was done? And if Gerrit Cole thought he was done, I hate to say it, Gerrit, it's the World Series. Why did you feel done? We're all watching. You didn't look done.
He also didn't look like he fought Boone back, which was interesting.
No, and I think that's a fair criticism of Cole to say, well, did you want to stay in the game? Did you not believe in yourself? And by the way, this is no longer a time to be a perfectionist. This is the World Series.
Right, just get outs. Get it done, ultimately. Because if they win one of those games, then you're not as dire as you are right now.
You're also asking for less out of your bullpen. That's the bottom line.
Correct.
Like, you give up a base hit to Teoscar Hernandez. To me, go try to get an out or two in the seventh inning. Because every out you get means there's less outs that Clay Holmes has to get.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, less that Luke Weaver has to get. Because Aaron Boone's right. Not enough people are ripping it. Aaron Boone self-ripped this. Luke Weaver needed to pitch the 10th inning. Needed to.
Right.
Him coming out of that game, ridiculous. Yeah. That's number two. And number three, as far as Cortez is concerned, and I am so sick of hearing this argument. I am so sick of hearing, well, if he's on the roster, he has to pitch.
No.
That's insane. Marcus Stroman's on the roster. Right. That doesn't mean he comes in a heavy, high-leverage situation. Well, Nestor Cortez needs to be used in a specific spot when he hasn't pitched in a month. To bring him in for Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman? Come on,
bro. To get specific about it, Nestor Cortez, at this point in his career, is a starting pitcher. I know that he has pitched out of the bullpen before, but he hasn't done it in 3 years. So to put him in a position where he's coming out of the dugout, or out of the bullpen, with runners on in a high leverage situation, when was the last time he did that? At least 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And so you're not putting him in an ideal situation in addition to him not being having pitched in a month. And so, like, what else could you have expected other than what
happened? I want to half agree, half disagree with you, because I understand what you're saying about I don't want to use him in that kind of situation. He's not used to it.
You can use him as a reliever, just not in a high leverage reliever position.
Where I would meet you in the middle is seventh inning. Okay,
That's fine.
I would use him.
I agree with you. Tenth inning?
Not tenth inning.
It is not. You can't.
Not when you have a better option at Tim Hill.
Evan, the people who get paid to do that get paid a lot of money.
Right.
A whole lot of money. The closer types, the setup hold type guys, they get paid a lot of money. That's not what Nestor does. And so you put him in a position that he's not conditioned to do. You know, and it's I almost felt bad for him because you could tell he just wasn't comfortable.
Well, you had a better option.
That's it.
In Tim Hill.
Yes.
That's what's so infuriating about it.
Yeah, he's earned like, that, hasn't he?
Yes, it's not like Nestor Cortez comes in, you're like, well, this makes sense, lefties, and Big Mac was arguing about Ohtani's numbers versus Cortez. By the way, his numbers pre-flexor strain that Nestor Cortez is rushing
but
back
it doesn't
from.
That doesn't even matter. Like, his numbers against whoever, they don't matter.
They should, but that's what Boone and analytics would tell you is why he went to
forget analytics in this moment.
You're right.
You have to put your player in the best position to be successful. Aaron Boone did not do that.
When he had Tim Hill with his funky arm delivery and everything. The spot for Nestor Cortez was, let Hill finish that. They probably win the game. You know, we don't know that definitively. Right. Anything's possible. Down 4-1 when he pulls Rodon, I could have used two innings out of Nestor Cortez there in game two.
I think there are other avenues where I would have used him.
Right.
Unless it's a break glass in case of emergency. But that 10th inning was not break glass in case of emergency because I had Tim Hill. So he messed it up. Now, is that the only reason they lost the game? No, there's never a baseball game.
No, but it's the last reason they lost the game, which is why it's memorable.
Of course. And
unforgivable.
Because if you get those guys out, and it could be unforgivable because let me tell you this, Tiki, and I've lived it numerous times. Losing game one, even though it's not the end of a series, can be the series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know that twice. Twice I watched my team blow a game in the ninth inning of game one of the World Series, and they never recovered. Yeah. I don't know if the Yankees are there. I can't tell the future. But if they never come back in this series, then, we are going to look at that decision. And I think Aaron made a lot of mistakes over the course of that game, capped off by putting Nestor Cortez in a horrible situation. And by the way, and I thought Fox did a terrible job with this, it's not that Fox didn't tell you. They just didn't tell you enough. When Verdugo goes into the stands, both those runners advance. And Joe Davis said it, but he said it very passingly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think most people watching had no idea it was second and third, two out.
Right.
They thought it was first and second, two out, and you're like, are they walking Mookie Betts?
And Fox didn't change their graphic right away either.
I think
had to be listening intently, not having a conversation with the person next to you.
Now,
to know what was
going on. Those guys don't advance, and don't tell me Mookie Betts is 0-5 against Nestor Cortez. That means nothing. I wipe my tuchus with that stat. That means nothing. Do you really like that matchup of Mookie Betts against Nestor Cortez?
No, I understood walking him. I would have rather faced Freeman. It didn't work out.
But if he doesn't, if Verdugo doesn't fall in the stands, he's not walking him, bro.
He's not walking him, too. Right?
He's not walking the bases loaded.
But Mookie could have easily hit a three-run homer. So
I think it's on the table.
Yeah.
I think those
I mean, he didn't even need to hit a three-run homer. He just needed to get a hit.
You just don't need to put the bottom of the lineup on if you're Jake Cousins to begin with. That's it.
And Jake Cousins shouldn't have been in the game.
Yeah.
Luke Weaver should have been. That's why I know that sometimes we blame managers way too much. But in this case, I don't think we are.
Because now the Yankees are in a spot, I said this to Evan pre-show, Tiki, where I know this doesn't theoretically make sense. They have to beat the Dodgers five times to win this series. Because they beat them in game one if Aaron Boone manages that correctly at the end.
Let's go to your calls, including Andrew, who's calling from the Bronx. How are you, Andrew?
Good. How are you guys?
What's up, man?
Just two quick comments, and then what I would do tonight. So really quickly, like you always hear it, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and looking for different results. You can't put out the same lineup tonight. Do not tell me the catcher change is a different because they're both not going to hit. Judge moving from the two spot to down, three spot down, I don't think is insulting your professional athlete, and you can't hurt the other eight players in the lineup just for his feelings. He's a Hall of Famer. I get it, but you know what? He can be moved. So one thing I would say is Torres, Soto, Stanton, Rizzo, Judge, Jazz, Volpe, Dominguez, Trevino. If you tell me that is not a stronger, better lineup than what they're putting out tonight, you're absolutely insane. You haven't been watching the Yankees. You can wake up tomorrow, and I'm telling you right now, our left fielder is going to go 0-for-4, maybe get a bloop single to right field. That's all he's able to do. And last thing, Boone is the new Danny Dimes. It's the same thing. You have to defend him. At some point, they just can't make the right choice or play.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one yet. Tiki, you want to respond to Aaron Boone is Daniel Jones?
Both Boxed really stink in front time.
Right. No, I can't say that yet.
That's a creative one.
Here's,
our last caller says, if you've watched the Yankees all season, well, I'm going to give him back. And if you've watched the Yankees all season, Aaron Boone has showed you he doesn't want to shake up the lineup.
No.
He doesn't want to do that.
Because he's a player's coach, and so he trusts his guys to a fault. And I guess that's what good leaders do, because eventually or ultimately when you're good enough, they protect you. Like they perform. They do exactly what you expect them to do. It's why he doesn't necessarily trust the Jason Dominguez, because he's young. He doesn't know him yet. He doesn't know him well enough. He hasn't been in those moments before and come through in the clutch. And so because of who he is and how he – As a former player who was in these high leverage situations at times, like he knows that it sometimes takes someone who's been there before to do it, and so he trusts his guys implicitly, and sometimes that's what gets him in trouble in the minds of the fan.
And to defend him a little bit, because that caller brought up Dominguez and Trevino, defense does matter in this series. And I can't call Dominguez a butcher, but clearly he's struggled since coming back defensively, and Trevino is a mess in throwing out runners. I can't do that to two spots in a World Series. I'm down two games.
So the way I would handle that is because they're not hitting, and they're not. Like, overall, we go through the individual things that cost them game one and game two. Overall, they're not hitting enough.
Right.
I would try something to spark the offense, knowing late in the game if I have a lead, I can always re-improve my defense.
Yeah.
If I started Jason Dominguez today, which Boone is not doing, Verdugo's in the lineup, sixth inning I have a lead, I can go make that change.
Right.
Like, you're not married to it for the rest of the night. Let's go to John in Wayne, New Jersey. How you doing, John?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
We're good, man.
Good. What's up?
Very good. Tiki, first of all, I want to tell you, once they told you how to hold the ball, I thought you were one of the great giant running backs of all time.
High and tight, baby. High and tight.
Evan, I'm going to contribute a little bit to your rant on Friday, which was Ohtani led in every category except one, which was stolen bases.
Judge That's led not in every true. Category but one except for stolen bases. Judge led.
No. He did not lead in total bases, and he did not lead in runs scored.
Okay, so you found two. Of the 150 stats,
It's a baseball freak thing.
Fine.
Three, I think the idea of putting Judge in the leadoff spot tonight is brilliant.
Oh,
I think it's a great move.
Yeah, and
these guys are professionals.
And he's done
and
it before.
Whenever they're interviewed, they say, oh, it's all about the team. It's all about winning. Well, let's make it about winning then.
Yeah. I mean, the last time he did it consistently, because we talked about this before.
I've
right?
brought this up
was,
before.
It was 2022 when he was, because they were trying to maximize his at-bats,
right.
trying to chase down the record. Remember that was 2022?
I think that was a part of it.
It was
I
a part of it, but
it was the best lineup.
Of course.
Because
nobody else was hitting that in
right.
A lot of that season, especially the second half of it. So you put him in a position where he's going to get a lot of at-bats. You're not risking anything because he's not protecting anyone per se. And so he could just get up there and be pressure-free and swing his bat.
Well, so here's the ultimate question. And every Yankee
And by
fan,
the way, it's also beneficial for him to walk.
Yeah.
Right? One of the things earlier in the season, because, you know, when the Juan Soto effect was real on this Yankee team at the beginning of the season, because not only was Juan Soto walking, everybody was walking. Mm-hmm. It was like he had, via osmosis, lessened everybody's chase rate. And so if you put Aaron Judge in the leadoff spot, then now all of a sudden a walk is just as good as a hit. And so he's not chasing. It's not two guys on base, right, or a man in scoring position. And he sees a ball that's low in the zone. He's like, oh, I can get to that one. And instead it's diving out and he's swinging it air. Right? It puts him in a better position to do what he does best.
Why is Aaron Judge struggling?
Because his chase rate is ridiculous.
Why do you think that is?
Because he feels like he needs to get a hit.
I agree with you. I think he's pressing.
Yeah. I think he wants to get a hit.
No doubt. He knows what we all know. He knows we know he knows what we know. We know that he knows that we know that he knows that we know. That's an ode to friends, by the way.
Yes, it is.
He's pressing. Do you agree with that, Sean, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's all
so
mental.
So I think we all agree that Aaron Judge is a wonderful baseball player who is now pressing.
Oh, that's insulting. He is an outstanding baseball player.
He is the best player in the sport.
Right.
Okay? I'll go all the way with it. I argued on Friday he had a better year than Shohei Ohtani. I stand by that. I know the playoffs matter, and I know the playoffs define legacies, but in terms of the regular season, Aaron Judge was a better player than Shohei Ohtani. Aaron Judge was the best player in baseball, period. Okay? So we all agree, for the most part, he's pressing. What are you going to do about it? And to me, moving him to the leadoff spot is a great way to say, Aaron, not that the pressure is completely off, but you don't have to hit a 5,000-foot home run.
Right.
You're not up with two on and nobody out, and the entire stadium is stressing. Just get on base.
Right.
And if you rip a double up the alley, that's great.
Fantastic.
That means we're set up with Juan Soto.
That means Soto's bringing you around.
Yes. And so a part of it is you're trying to relax this guy, because Aaron Judge is a great baseball player, but right now he cannot perform in the postseason.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Right.
I want to sit here and tell you it's going to change every day. I've repeated it 15 days in a row. He will hit. He will hit. He's too great not to hit. And I guess I'll say the same thing today at about 6:45, because I respect great players.
No,
and I believe great players will eventually show they're great. But at some point, you got to try something.
It's going to be a little chilly for Walker Buehler, so he's not going to get that snap on his cutter or something. So it's going to just hang right there. And Aaron Judge is going to put one in that Bank of America sign that I'm staring at right now.
That would be
nice.
Is that a prediction or is that a...
That's a prediction.
Oh, okay.
That's a prediction.
He's going to check one into that account?
I love it.
You got an Aaron Judge prediction, Shawnee?
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't share you guys' optimism. I think he's going over 4. I think the Yankees are going to win tonight.
He's already done that.
I'm not trying to rain on. I don't think suddenly he wakes up and something changes. I think he's going to press all series, and the Yankees are just going to have to find a way without him.
JP is in Nanuet. What's up, JP?
Hey, TK and Evan. How are you guys?
What's up, man?
Good. What's up?
So, I definitely don't agree with Boone's lineup. I definitely think either move Judge to first or swap Judge to Stanton. But no matter what, throwing Nestor in was a stupid move. And no matter what happens, even if the Yankees go all the way and they win it, I think Boone's got to go. He's made too many stupid
moves.
He's
not going anywhere.
If they win,
fire Boone.
As he gets off the float,
right,
they won the World Series.
Well,
he's fired.
Now, again, if they win the World Series, you can't. If they lose, you tell me he's got to be safe? He might always be remembered for Game 1, by the way.
Mm.
Always in Yankee lore. I think we're discounting that because we're mid-series and there's a lot of baseball left.
Yeah, it depends on what the next two or next but, whatever, how many left, what it looks. If they get swept, you're right.
Yeah, if they lose a series, it's 5-6. We will always remember Game 1, and that is Aaron Boone's Yankee legacy more than hitting that home run in 0-3.
What I will answer to that is you said something that you're right on. It's mid-series.
Yeah.
Right.
We're in the middle of the World freaking Series. The idea that we could have an actual rational discussion about one of the manager's jobs is crazy.
Of course.
On November 5th, there's a chance I'll walk in here with my IBO hat and say, wow, I can't believe I'm saying this, but they should get rid of the manager. I can't say that before Game 3.
No.
And I certainly can't say what our last caller said, which is, even if they win. Even if they win,
right,
they win the World Series and you'd want to fire the manager.
That's like having a conversation about the rookie pool.
The rookie pool.
Didn't you hear this? The international signing pool. Did you see that?
Oh, yes. I said that to you, T.
Yes, exactly. So, was like, what is this you sent me, Evan? This is bizarre.
You know, I didn't send
I didn't know what the context was.
Yeah, this is actually really funny, and I'll send it to Loogie. We'll play it a little bit later on. But in the middle of a World Series press conference, right. Andrew Friedman, who runs the LA Dodgers, right. was asked about international bonus points.
Right, and I was like, what is this? And then I listened to the response, and it was like, that's the stupidest question ever.
Andrew shut him down completely.
He was like, this is an unacceptable question, I think was how he put it.
Yeah, it was definitely up there.
It's like, we can't talk about Boone getting fired in the middle of the World Series. You can't talk about the international bonus pool.
No, but I do think Andrew Friedman is doing something very dirty right now.
Which is?
Around the New York Yankees and the LA Dodgers, and I'll reveal exactly what that is coming up at about 4:30. We'll talk to the great Joe Bedingo in just a few minutes and see what he has to say about what, in my opinion, and I'm only a 41-year-old man, was the most pathetic loss in the history of the New York Jets. The great Joe Bedingo coming up. More of your calls at 888-808-1019. We are here all day. We're going to lead you right up until Yankee pregame show tonight at about 7:25.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.